Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
What does the word worship mean to you? To many people, it is the 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning called worship service. It takes place in a building called a house of worship. If you ask many modern evangelicals what worship is, they will tell you it is the song service. A worship leader is the person who gets up in front of the congregation and sings, encouraging everyone else to sing along. We buy worship CDs, we have worship teams, worship bands. I even know one pastor who thought that worship meant slow songs and praise meant fast songs. Now, don't get me wrong. I love singing in church, and Paul tells us to admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But that is not really how worship is defined in Scripture. In fact, there is almost nowhere in the Bible where the word worship is even remotely linked to singing. One of the rules of interpretation of the Scriptures is called the law of first mention. That is, to understand a word or a concept, find the first place in Scripture that it is mentioned. The word worship is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 22. Let's take a look at that story. In Genesis 22, we read, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' God said, 'Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.' Now, we know Abraham had another son named Ishmael, but Isaac was the only son of promise. And God made it very clear, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac.'" Abraham is called the father of faith. Indeed, he is the father of the three major monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The scripture says Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, the word reckoned is an accounting term. It means he was given credit. It was accounted to him as righteousness. Notice it doesn't say Abraham believed in God, but rather Abraham believed God. There's a great difference between acknowledging that God exists and taking him at his word and trusting him to the point of obedience. The very first time we read about Abraham, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you.'" Abraham believes God and follows him, not even knowing his final destination. His response is the same in this story. When God tells him, "Go to one of the mountains of which I will tell you," he goes. Abraham trusted God enough to obey him, even though he didn't have all of the details about the future. He goes. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you." This is the first time that the word worship occurs in the Bible. Now, there are two main words, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that each translate into the English word worship. The first means to prostrate oneself. The second one means to serve. The word used here means to prostrate oneself. The picture is to be on your face before God. Have you ever spent time not just on your knees in prayer, but on your face in God's presence? Suffice to say that true worship involves either humbling yourself before God or serving Him in some capacity. At any rate, I doubt that Abraham and Isaac intended to go up the hill and sit by the fire and sing Kumbaya. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. Notice that worship here involves sacrifice. At times, we must make sacrifices to worship God. It isn't always convenient, and it doesn't always feel good. Often worship takes a great effort, but it is always worth it. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father?" And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. God will provide. This is the phrase Jehovah Jireh that was so popular in the Charismatic Renewal and also the Prosperity Gospel. I remember people dancing around and singing, Jehovah Jireh, He's my provider. Notice that he says God will provide for himself. It has nothing to do with God giving you things that you want. It has to do with Him providing what you need in order to serve Him. Then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. We so often talk about the faith of Abraham, and we should. But what about the faith of Isaac? Most commentaries place Isaac's age between his teen years and early 30s. Many say he was 33, the age of Jesus, when he climbed up a hill with a burden of wood on his back. You know, so often we make the characters in Scripture almost larger than life, and we forget that they were human, just like us. And here's this young man, Isaac, and he notices there's wood, there's fire, there's a knife, but the main element of the sacrifice was missing. I think he knew what was going on. I think he knew what was going to happen shortly, but he kept on climbing. Now, he carried the wood on his back, so he was certainly strong enough to overpower his father, who was well over 100. At the very least, he could have outrun him. But I suspect that Abraham taught Isaac about God. Clearly, Isaac had learned about the sacrifices. He knew about the details. I imagine Abraham told his son about his victory over the five kings and the mysterious man Melchizedek. He must have told him about his nephew Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. He certainly would have shared with Isaac that God made a covenant with him and that Isaac himself was the fulfillment of a promise. No doubt Isaac had been instructed in the faith, and surely by now he had faith of his own. So he laid down his life willingly. He submitted to his father and to the plan of God. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Now the term "the angel of the Lord" almost always refers to an Old Testament manifestation of the third person of the Trinity, or theophany. Notice he calls him from heaven, and then says, you have not withheld your son from me. Remember, this story began with God telling Abraham to sacrifice his son as an offering. I believe that the angel of the Lord mentioned here in this story is actually the Lord himself making an appearance. I've heard skeptics and critics say, "How can you believe in a God who would authorize human sacrifice? What kind of cruel trick is this that God would promise Abraham a son, then make him wait for so long, and then finally, after having a son, say, 'Now kill him'?" Now remember, this story begins with the words, "And God tested Abraham." I've heard people try to explain this away, saying God was testing Abraham so that Abraham would know what was in his heart. But clearly that's not what's described here. God says, "Now I know that you will not withhold your son, your only son, from me." The key that unlocks this story is found in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Indeed, Abraham had great faith, and indeed, Isaac was a type of the Son of God, who was raised from the dead. Abraham believed God would resurrect Isaac. He had faith in God. He knew God's character. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it will be provided.'" The word "provide" here is a great word. It means to see ahead or to look forward. When you go camping, you pack provisions. You think ahead about what you will need before you go up the mountain. And God made sure that Abraham had all he needed on this mountain. But there is a more prophetic application here as well. Mount Moriah was just 330 meters from Mount Calvary in the New Testament, where God's only son would be sacrificed for our sins. God was looking ahead to that mountain as well. And just as Isaac could have escaped, Jesus could have called legions of angels. But he said to his father, "Not my will, but thine be done." And God was able even to raise him from the dead. So what have we learned from Abraham, the father of faith, about worship? We've learned that true worship requires faith. True worship requires trust. True worship requires obedience. True worship requires humility. True worship requires serving. And true worship requires sacrifice. I encourage you to have faith that will allow you to trust God wherever He leads you. I encourage you to be obedient to Him, whatever He asks of you. I encourage you to rely on Him to provide everything you need to serve Him. And I encourage you to worship Him with humility and reckless abandon. I look forward to joining you again on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.